1-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeout for the King tonight, and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right, time once again, Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being along. As we are 1 week away, just 1 week until this thing starts for real, 1 week until the Mariners play their first regular season game of the 2016 season. So we're getting down to it as camp quickly coming to an end. And yesterday was a big day in camp. We'll get to it in just a second. The Mariners played a game yesterday we'll talk about. Robinson Cano had an explosion of a day. Shannon Dreher is going to be here. We'll talk to her about camp and the news yesterday and what her feeling is about the fifth starter. Some roster decisions were made and some have yet to be made, and fifth starter is one of those. We'll talk about that in a few minutes with Shannon Dreher. But first things first, roster moves made, and it looks like, well, a job may have been won. Here's Jerry Dipoto, general manager for the Mariners.
Dejo has the history hitting left-handers. I think he's given us reason to believe in spring training. Very prepared. He's very calm in the batter's box. I think he's gotten better every step of the way as we've gone along. And it's been a pleasant surprise, the defense, and particularly the base running. You know, he runs the bases really smart. And defense has been much better than we anticipated at first base. And we do have confidence in his history of handling left-hand pitching, which is the role we're trying to fill.
Does that mean he'll be on the 25-man, or is that still in?
That's to be determined, you know. But right now, there is a good chance of that happening. What we are confirming today is that we're adding him to the 40-man roster.
Gotcha. What else are you doing?
We are going to add Joel Peralta eventually. That will not technically happen today, but we have informed Joel that he is going to make our club. So that'll be more of a technical roster move at a later point. But he's aware of the situation. We made him aware of that this morning as well.
What did you like about him?
Joel's a gamer. Joel makes a difference in our clubhouse. I think Joel is a leader in the bullpen. He also showed physically. He's been 90-92 the entire spring. And his split finger, it's a weapon. And he's a guy that gets the righties and the lefties out, kind of a reverse splits type. And, you know, especially in a bullpen that is going to start without Charlie Furbush, the idea that Joel Peralta is capable of coming in and getting the better left-hand hitters in the league and having strikeout stuff really helps.
How long are you anticipating being without Charlie?
TBD. Charlie is presently situating himself to have a medical procedure. We were going to make an announcement shortly and let Charlie talk about it, but he's going to have a medical procedure, not a surgical invasion, but a medical procedure that will hopefully help solve some of his discomfort or inability to get out there consistently. I wish I could tell you I had a day. I don't know. You know, our hope is that once we get him out there, he stays out there, and we're not in a rush for that to be opening day or April 15th, which is like it to be sooner than later.
So there it is, General Manager Jerry Dipoto. A lot of news there, and it started with Dejo Lee, added to the 40-man roster. Wouldn't confirm that he's made the 25 out of camp, but all signs pointing to Dejo Lee on the 25-man roster when camp breaks, and he'll be the backup first baseman for the Mariners. Peralta making the bullpen. Of course, the bullpen's been stung by injuries. We'll talk about that with Shannon Dreher coming up in a few minutes, but Peralta will be part of the bullpen. He's made the team. He'll be moving north. And the news, not good with Charlie Furbush, and I think this is tough for the Mariners to be without Furbush. I think everyone was hoping for the best coming into this season, hoping that he would be healthy because he's a big part of the bullpen. It was a huge loss and a loss that probably wasn't talked about enough last year when he went down, but he was having another sensational season last year. In 33 games, 2.08 ERA, 21 and two-thirds innings, 17 punch-outs, and five walks during that stretch. He was getting lefties, which is something he's been able to do through his career, but he was also hammering righties last year as well. He was a guy that was getting both out. Coming off of a 2014 season, where he pitched nearly 70 games. The year before that, he went over 70 games. He's been a big part of this bullpen for the last handful of years, and someone the Mariners have really been able to rely on from the left side, but he's not going to be ready to start the season. And as you heard there, not exactly sure when he'll be ready to start the season. And again, that's a tough loss. It's a tough loss for the Mariners as they face life without Charlie. Lefties last year just batted .005 against him. 4-for-38 with 0 extra base hits and 11 punch-outs in 38 at-bats. Just really impressive numbers from Furbush against lefties. Last year, of course, a shortened season with the injury, but you look down through the years. The year before against lefties, and the strikeout-to-walk ratio, it was laughable when you look at it. 13.5 strikeout-to-walk ratio, 27 strikeouts to lefties, 2 walks in 2014. They had 19 hits off of them, 3 doubles and 1 homer. They're just lefties not able to square him up. And again, tough loss, and they're trying to fill the lefty role. You mentioned, Jerry Dipoto mentioned there, Peralta being a guy that can get lefties out. Of course, they're trying Montgomery in the bullpen as well. They have Nuno as a lefty as well. But big shoes to fill for Furbush. So we'll be watching that closely. And we'll probably have more information on that today with the announcement and Charlie Furbush talking about it. But there's a little, preview of what's to come with the bullpen. And again, talk to Shannon about that in just a second. Game yesterday that involved the roster decision, the big roster decision that hasn't been filled yet. But before we get to that, we have to get to Robinson Cano.
Hamill holding, continuing to hold, now deals. Cano swings and rips this out to right field. This is out of the berm by a ton. A 2-run home run by Robinson Cano off of Jason Hamill, and the Mariners strike first. It's 2-0.
And Cano was not done there.
There's the pitch swing, opposite field, fly ball with some carry, back to the warning track, back by the berm, and it's gone for a home run. Cano 2-for-2, this time a 3-run blast. He's driven in 5. Both times at the plate, he's gone deep, first to right field, this time to left. And the Mariners tack on even more. It's 6-1, top of the second.
Yeah, and how about a third?
This is pelted out to center. Can he go to all fields? This might have enough. It's gone. A 3-run homer day for Robinson Cano. Home run in the first, home run in the second, and now to center field, just left of the batter's eye in the 8th inning. Cano, a 2-run shot. He's driven in 7 Mariners runs today.
Well, big day for Robinson Cano. His skipper, Scott Service, talked about that after the ball game.
Robinson Cano, wow. It was a pretty special day. It was funny. A fan yelled at him, you know, you hit one to right, you hit one to left. Let me see you hit one to center. And he did. You know, special, special player. Great day for him.
Obviously healthy, and how good is just seeing him with that health and what he's doing?
Yeah, you know, he feels really good. You know, really all spring. You know, when he got in camp, he is healthy. He's got that bounce in his step back, and he's out to prove something. It's a good thing I'm a part of it, and we're going to watch it every day. It's been fun to see so far.
Something simple, though. You know, he's got 2 home runs, and the next at bat, he takes a walk. And how much important is something like that?
Well, it's a comment I made to the guys on the bench. You know, the good players, they can hit a home run and hit 2 home runs. The great players, they just, when they feel it, they keep it rolling. They don't give away at bats, and he didn't all day today, which is great to see.
Flip side, James, probably not what you're looking for.
Yeah, you know, I thought his stuff was pretty good early in the game. You know, they got elevated some balls, and, you know, the home run obviously hurt him today. Not his finest outing, but I did think his stuff was better today.
Roach just kind of keeps
gets the game back on a normal pace and puts some zeros up there for us. He's got a ton of confidence, throwing all of his pitches over, you know, for strikes and setting up hitters and very, very aggressive. So, again, he continues the role, and it's fun to watch him pitch right now.
And the news about James Paxton, of course, he had the start yesterday, and you heard Scott Service mention it. Paxton, 4 innings, 9 hits, 7 runs earned, 3 walks and no strikeouts, trying to win the 5th spot. His ERA now sits at 10.80. So Nathan Carnes will get the next turn. We'll see how he does, but the 5th spot coming down to the wire. But Paxton, I don't think this was the outing he was looking for. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Yeah, I left some balls up, you know. Wasn't my best. I feel like I threw some pretty good pitches out there today, though. You know, the ball was jumping out of the stadium. You know, as you can see, the ball, the score is 97. So it's one of those days. You know, I would have liked to get the ball down better and kept it on the ground a little more on a day like this. But yeah, that's about it.
What do you look at to get the ball down? Is that a mechanic or
adjustments just
you trying to make when you're out there?
Just kind of, I was trying to get that length, trying to really reach for the mitt out there. I think that, I don't know, my stride, I was kind of falling into the hole in the mound, and I think on the curveball I slipped, front foot slipped on the curveball to Hayward, sorry. But, yeah, I just need to kind of stay close maybe a little bit longer. I think I was flying open a little bit.
It's tough to judge results down here. I mean, you pitched down here before. Tough to translate how it's been.
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously it's what the coaches think that matters. Right. You know, but I've kind of been that guy that doesn't get the numbers in spring training kind of my whole career. So, you know, I'm not going to let this start kind of bother me. I'm just going to keep on working and get myself ready for the season and, you know, just get ready to go.
Have you seen what you need to see for yourself and knowing yourself and knowing your pitches?
Yeah, you know, my bullpens have been really good, feeling great. I feel like I'm really close to being right there. And I think that, you know, come time, the season starts here in a week, and I think I'll be ready to rock and roll.
Did you view this as a particularly big start? I mean, it's a coach's decision in terms of the competition for that fifth spot at all? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but there's nothing I can do about that. I just have to try and focus on what I can control and let them make their decisions. You know, they're going to do what they want to do.
So that was James Paxton after his start. And we'll get to Shannon Dreyer here in a second. But also something about yesterday that I have to get to. And I'm so thrilled that our friend Aaron Goldsmith was on the mic for this, because you hear the B delay that happened a couple years ago in the regular season game as part of his open.
Looks like there's – oh, maybe we have to – oh, Ryan, you are in for a treat. You are here for the first B action of spring training.
Is it that time of year?
Oh, this is – Ryan, consider yourself very lucky. This makes for the best radio – really, any time of the year, as Dexter Fowler is swatting at bees, and now he's climbing the fence in center field.
Getting away from the bees. I'm so thrilled that Aaron Goldsmith got to be on the mic again for another bee delay. And who knows, maybe this one will be in the open as well. A new open. Who knows? We'll see. It could be there. So anyway, James Paxton, back to serious stuff. James Paxton and Carnes. One more start for Carnes, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But all eyes will be on Nathan Carnes. So let's turn our attention now to Shannon Dreyer as we get to talk about a few of these items as camp quickly coming to a close. Well, Shannon, let's start with things we know about the roster, and it looks like we know the backup first baseman job has been won. It looks like Dejo Lee has made the club.
He has made the 40-man roster, and they've all but announced him as on the 25-man roster. I don't think he would have taken that assignment, or the Mariners would have given him that contract if they weren't intending on putting him on the 25-man roster. So I think that they've seen enough from him. And the key with Dejo Lee is he's been able to show that he can play first base and probably a little bit better than we would have expected, which is kind of interesting. And one scout pointed out to me is that he's played in Japan and Korea where he's played mostly on turf surfaces, so he's used to the ball getting to him pretty quickly. And his reflexes and instincts over there, I think, are a little bit better than we would have thought. His footwork is better than we would have thought. So it looks like he can play the position. He runs the bases decently. That's something that Jerry Tipoto pointed out when we talked to him. And as far as the offense goes, I think when we first heard about him, we were having these visions of these huge monster home runs. We've all seen, I think, the YouTube videos of him. We haven't seen anything close to that yet, but it kind of reminds me of a veteran getting ready for the season and, for him, adjusting to what he's seeing because he's never seen it before. You've seen him take steps with the bat. If he continues to progress, that could be a very good thing for the Mariners, and they are going to give him that opportunity.
One of the jobs we're still waiting on, we've talked about the fifth starter battle all through spring, Carnes, Paxton. What is your feel now that we head down to the wire?
It's tough because they've both been so up and down. you talk about Paxton, you can talk about upside all day long. And what's really interesting about this camp, and I think what's a little bit different from the last few years, is it's not about upside. They want players who can help them right now. Mm. And James Paxton has got all the talent in the world. You've got to keep him on the field, and you've got to keep him consistent. Well, we've had him on the field, and he hasn't always been consistent this spring. And so they're asking for more in that regard. I think he's very comfortable with his pitches right now. I think he's getting that breaking ball back, and he wasn't allowed to throw that all fall as he was waiting for the finger to heal and the fingernail to heal. I think that's all behind him. I think it's a matter of getting his pitches and being consistent with them, and most importantly, being consistent with that delivery, which isn't easy. Nathan Carnes, on the other hand, is a guy that put up a pretty steady first full season. And this is the guy that, you know, they like him. They use their best trade piece or their best realistic and available trade piece to go get him when they traded Brad Miller to Tampa for both he and Boog Powell, who they also like quite a bit. So you know that this is a guy that I think they planned all along at having in the rotation. But again, it has ups and downs. And with Carnes and talking to people, he seems to kind of be on the opposite end. He can kind of get things going physically. It's the mental side that he needs to work on. He's a guy that thinks too much or works too much. He really just needs to go out there and pitch a little bit more. So, yeah, this one I do think is going to come down to the wire. There was some talk of what could either help you in the bullpen. Yeah. I can't imagine that we would see that at this point in the spring. So I think right now it's going to come down to whoever looks best in those last two outings.
Well, you mentioned bullpen, so let's talk about it. You look at injuries that have hit this team, and they've essentially all hit the bullpen, and it's already a spot that we were talking about, a spot of concern heading into this season. Where are things at with the bullpen as we're a week away from heading north?
Well, I think the back end of the bullpen, you've got fairly settled. You did bring in Steve Cishek to be your closer. You did bring in Joaquin Benoit to be your eighth inning guy, and also to step in and close occasionally as needed. They both have looked okay in the spring. I had a little bit of a concern, and they both missed a little bit of time with some extra aches and pain. But yeah, we'll see in these last couple of weeks. And Cishek is scheduled to pitch back-to-back. His first outing of that back-to-back was not good. I'm very interested to see how he bounces back in the second outing. Been while he's done this for so long. And if you can get another year from him at just what he's done, I don't like the idea that you get nervous just because he's older. He really has been very consistent. So I think you like that in the eighth inning. And of course, we're hoping that Charlie Furbush would be ready. He is not going to be ready. In fact, a little news on that is Jerry DePoto said that Charlie, he's been kind of weighing his options and what he can do. He's been dealing with some pain in a different area of the shoulder and then upper arm than he had been before, but he simply hasn't been able to bounce back and get back out on the mound. He's been weighing his options, talked to doctors, and now it appears that he's going to have what they call a medical procedure that is not surgical. So this hopefully is something that if it works, you're looking at weeks rather than months, of course, if you were looking at surgery. So he is still very much a wait and see and will not be there. The good news is they have Vidal Nuno, who they very much like in any left-handed role in the pen. And this is a guy who can pitch to lefties, to righties. He can pitch to one tough lefty if you need him. He can be in there for three innings if you need him. He's been very steady throughout the spring. He's going to help this team a lot. Trying to find out what Mike Montgomery is right now. It looks like they're going to need him because they don't really have other left-handed options. And this is a guy who's got the possibility to really bring it with that over-the-top fastball that he has. And his curveball has looked good this spring. Talked with Mel Stottlemyre. He calls it a plus breaking ball when it's on. That, of course, would be used. And then that's when you kind of have the trouble, the right-handers, filling out those last spots. Tony Zick should get one. He's been a little bit up and down in camp, has looked better in the last week and a half. And then you've got to fill another couple of spots. Joel Peralta has made the club, we have been told, and he has been told for that matter. So then it's going to get down to a Don Roach or a Blake Parker. Or what I think we are probably going to see is help from the outside.
You know, when I think about the bullpen right now, I think Tony Zick may be the key guy the whole thing in terms of giving the bullpen a little bit of depth, assuming that the back two guys are healthy and effective. Zick could really put it all together when you talk about the sixth and seventh innings.
He could, and they need him for that, and I think they've really been trying to build him up to that. And you know, there's confidence is big when you're a reliever. It's big in this game, period, but when you're a reliever, it's that much bigger for them, and I think that he's got the attitude, and I don't think they're shy about putting him in tough situations from what he showed last year. So, you know, you hope that he can have it. We haven't always seen the slider be as sharp as it can be this spring, but it's spring training. You know, we haven't seen the velocities with a lot of these guys, but again, yeah, that can be an adrenaline thing. So it's, you have to really kind of wait and see until the lights come on and what these guys really are. But Zick, without a question, having, I mean, if they can get him, the further back of that bullpen they can get him, the better.
You know, I think it's really interesting this spring when you look around the Cactus League in general. It's really hard to dial in any pitching at this point in terms of what they're going to bring to the Major League season, because you look at it and the numbers are inflated with just about every team. You look at the Giants rotation, just all around the Cactus League. The offensive numbers are incredible. The pitching numbers are not good all the way around.
No, but that's spring training, and I think that's one of the things where you really just have to, when it's a pitcher, you have to focus in on the stuff. Not so much the velocity, but are they getting the break, and how comfortable are they with all of their pitches? That, I think, is the most important thing. I like to see the relievers in particular look sharp those last, you know, 10 days of camp. You feel pretty good when you see that. As far as the offense goes, I think what the Mariners have built, you know, if you don't see it in the spring, I think you're still going to see it in the regular season. This is a different kind of offense. Mm-hmm. And what I've kind of tried to tell people about it is, you know, they've tried to build a little bit more to having more of the bigger guys and more of the home run guys in the past. They can go through slumps. This club is built more to on-base percentage, and on-base percentage goes through much less drastic slumps. It's not all live or die with the on-base percentage. As long as your guy can get on or move the guy over, he can contribute, and that's been a huge focus in this camp, and we've seen that work. And one of the things that's really impressed me about that is I'd have to go back and look at my book, but it seems like every night the one and two hitter, and they've mixed and matched a whole bunch because you never run the entire lineup out there. They're all getting on and scoring in that first inning, which has been fantastic to see.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No, that is fantastic, especially with the middle of the order when you're talking about Cano and Seager and Cruz. I mean, that's an impressive middle of the order. Is there anything in camp that you saw that surprised you?
Anything that surprised me during camp? I'm going to say that the biggest pleasant surprise that I have had is how quickly this team and this coaching staff have gelled. I think we had a lot of questions, with just a completely different organizational philosophy, a new general manager, and but a manager who hasn't managed at any level before. And the way that Scott Service has gone about his business, bringing in the veterans, enlisting their help, having the morning meetings, and, you know, then just kind of sneaking in some of the sabermetric stuff that we've heard, I think that the balance that they've had and the work that they've done is some of the best that I've ever seen. And the biggest surprise to me is that end of things, when you consider that he hasn't done this before and it is so different, has been absolutely shameless.
Well, Shannon, I know this is a crazy day as we get down to roster cuts and everything else at the end of spring. So I really appreciate the time, and boy, we're getting close, just a week away. Can't wait.
Oh, I'm ready. Let's get this thing started.
Well, there it is, Shannon Dreher. Always great to catch up with Shannon. Great perspective there from camp. You know, it's interesting. I kind of want to expand on one of my questions to give it a little context, because it may not have made sense if you've heard me talk about spring training and spring training numbers in the past, because I asked her about pitching numbers, especially this year, that are kind of hard to wrap your arms around. And it's pretty interesting when you look at it, because I think numbers in general at spring training are very hard to read into for a number of reasons. One, you're in Arizona for all your games, and it just, the games tend to slant towards offense with just the weather, the temperature, those sorts of things. But there are always circumstances that are a little different in spring training that's hard to compare, well, regular season games to, for example. You could have a veteran on the mound that's working on his curveball one day, may throw 18 of them in a row. I mean, you never know what lineups you face. You could be randomly facing a double-A lineup in a split squad game, that sort of thing. There's so many variables in a spring training game that it's hard to put too much stock into numbers. And I know something, I look at numbers obviously in spring training, because I think that they go into decision making when it comes to roster spots, for roster battles, for a young guy trying to make a ball club. I mean, numbers are more important in some circumstances than others. On the other side of things, whether Kyle Seager hits 450 in spring training or 150 in spring training, it doesn't really change my opinion of what I think he'll do during this upcoming season. Although, as I always say, you'd rather see a guy produce and play well in spring training than not. So that's kind of my general rule of thumb. But that's kind of in a thumbnail how I view spring training and spring training stats. But what I was alluding to is something that I have found interesting. And Shannon's absolutely right. Conditions are always tough in Arizona, and the Cactus League in particular. It's just the way it is. It's the way it plays. But I think it's even more extreme coming into this year. And you heard me reference like San Francisco, who has just really struggled pitching the ball despite a really strong staff. I mean, an ERA at 6.5. And it's funny when you break down the numbers team by team. There's only two teams this year in the Cactus League out of 15 teams that actually have a better ERA this spring than they did last spring, the Angels and the Rangers. Overall, the runs given up, it's nearly even, and there's still a week to play this year in this Cactus League. 2,112 runs given up by Cactus League teams this year, as opposed to last year, 2,211. So it's going to surpass last year by a lot. Team ERA, when you combine all 15 teams, a 5.31 ERA for all teams this year in Cactus League play. Last year, 4.63. That's a pretty significant difference. Now, I'm just comparing 2 years, but it was just something I was noticing. And I started to look into it, and it's really striking how much offense there has been this year in the Cactus League, even compared to last year when there was a ton of offense in the Cactus League. I mean, you look at the ERAs by numbers, and they're big. I mean, San Diego, 6.69. Chicago's over 5. Cincinnati, Oakland over 6. And again, for a lot of the reasons that I mentioned before, but so much higher than last year. I don't know what this means, probably nothing, but I think it's kind of interesting, especially when you see some of the pitchers and some of the teams that have been batted around. But it's something to keep in mind when you look at spring training numbers, particularly for Mariners pitchers moving forward. Mariners, just for reference, as a team, a 5.04 ERA in spring training. And that's actually pretty good in comparison to a lot of the other teams in the Cactus League. I mean, it's kind of right in the middle of the pack with Colorado 5.7, Milwaukee 5.2, and Chicago 5.07. So it's kind of right there in that pack, which, again, I don't know what you can take from this moving forward. I just found it interesting. Speaking of interesting, since we're a week away now from the beginning of the regular season, and Felix Hernandez making another opening day start, I thought we would turn back the clock and play just one strikeout from Felix Hernandez and his first opening day start. Here it is.
On this, his first opening day assignment, he has been absolutely brilliant. So far, a three-hit shutout. And the next pitch, swing and a miss at strikeout number 12.
See you later! See you later! See you later!